The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't want it, you don't need it, but you're going to get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
One guest on the show today, Fred Smoot, one of my favorites, will be on with me. Today, we'll get Fred's thoughts on Washington's draft. You know, I think when Fred was on with me last time, which was probably a month or a month and a half ago, he was not a big Jaden Daniels guy. He was much more of a Drake May guy. We'll see how he feels now that the draft is in the books. We'll get his thoughts not only on Daniels, but everybody else in the draft as well. The show, as always, is presented by Window Nation. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. Mention my name for a free, no obligation, in-home estimate. Speaking of Drake May and Jaden Daniels, Adam Schefter mentioned this on draft night, but then on Pat McAfee's show yesterday, he reported that Washington's top two quarterbacks were Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy, not Drake May. So if Washington had, for whatever reason, soured on Jaden Daniels, and they never did, J.J. McCarthy was next in line. I bring that up because at some point, you know, down the road, hopefully we're all still having these conversations with each other. But if Drake May lights it up, somebody will say they should have taken May, and I'll say yes, but remember, May was not the guy that they would have taken next. It was McCarthy. Or if McCarthy lights it up and Daniels doesn't, they should have taken McCarthy. I think that's interesting. From this standpoint, I would have much preferred May over McCarthy. I don't know anything, and I understand that, especially as it relates to McCarthy, because there just wasn't enough to see at the college level. And I can see how, you know, the intangibles and the winner and the championship medal, et cetera, is a big part of who he is. And he can really throw the football and he's mobile. I see all of that. And I do see a good fit for him with Kevin O'Connell in a Shanahan style offense in Minnesota. But if they had actually, for whatever reason, soured on Jaden Daniels and selected J.J. McCarthy, I would have gone with it. I would have gone with it. But for all of you Drake Mayers out there, I would have been with you. I would have been like, look, if it's not Daniels, you got to go with the guy that looks a little bit like Justin Herbert, like he could develop into Justin Herbert. Anyway, I wanted to get that, you know, on the record, so to speak. So, as we have conversations in the future, we remember that Adam Schefter, one of the most dialed-in guys, said that Washington's top two quarterbacks were Daniels and then McCarthy, not Daniels and then May. So I put together a few tweets and emails yesterday from over the weekend, and I put together another batch for today's show because I think this is actually a subject worth addressing. I don't know how many of you agree with this, but I think a lot of you see Daniels as RG3 number two. There is fear from some of you out there that Daniels is going to be RG3 repeat. This from Martin. Martin writes, I'm afraid that Adam Peters drafted another RG3. Daniels is a run-first QB, and he's going to get hurt. This from Charles. Kevin, I see RG me in Daniels. I would have preferred May or even Penix more than Daniels. He looks breakable like RG3 did. This from Walter. Well, you got your guy. I hope you're happy. This pick is no different than RG3 in 2012. He's a dynamic runner but can't read defenses. He takes too many hits and he's built like a number two pencil. You're going to regret your push for Daniels, but not as much as Adam Peters and Dan Quinn will. And then this comes from Four Star. Four Star writes, I'm with you on Daniel Sheehan, so I'm happy they picked him. But did you hear Jaden say that Robert Griffin is one of the people he will look to for advice? Please tell somebody out there how bad of an idea that would be. So let me address that last comment from Four Star first. I do think I heard something. I didn't hear the quote, but I think I read something that Daniels mentioned RG3 and someone he would, you know, look to for advice. I don't think there's much any of us can do about that, you know, Four Star. You know, hopefully Jaden Daniels has good judgment when it comes to the advice he decides to take and the advice he decides to pass on. Look, RG3 may offer some good advice, but I'm going to move on from that because I want to dispel this idea that Jaden Daniels is a replica of RG3. He just isn't. There are massive differences between the two, in my opinion, but in the opinion of others as well. Let's start with just the football part. Football-wise, Jaden Daniels is a much more advanced passer than RG3 ever was coming out of Baylor. By the way, he's a much better runner than RG3. And that's saying a lot because RG3 could move. But Jaden Daniels has vision. He's got elusiveness in the open field to go with the speed. Griffin pretty much just had the speed. But the biggest difference, and we heard this from Cooley. You know, Cooley said Daniels is a more advanced passer. Cooley didn't think. John Beck essentially said the same thing. Neither thought that you have to have like a dual threat attack for Daniels to make it so that he could be on the field as a rookie. Cooley said you'll have some of that. You'll have some of that dual threat stuff, but emphasized the maturity and the poise that Daniels has as a pocket passer. That was not Robert coming out of Baylor. In fact, that was never Robert even in the NFL at any of the stops along the way. Jaden is a much more advanced pocket passer than Robert ever was. Now, don't mistake that for, you know, Robert not having a big-time NFL arm, which he did. He had a big arm. But he just lacked so much as a rookie passer that Jaden doesn't lack coming in. Now, are they similar in how much of a threat they are to defenses with mobility? Yes, definitely. Very similar, but in a different way, in my opinion. As I mentioned, I think Jaden has real vision as a runner. I don't think Robert had very good vision at all as a runner. Are they similar in how much their ability to move, their mobility can be used and created around? Yes, there are similarities there, but with a big difference. You know, Mike and Kyle built a new kind of offense in many ways in the NFL at that point. They did it around what Robert did well while avoiding what he didn't do well at that point coming into the league. I think with Jaden, Kingsbury will be creative around what he does well, including what he does well from a mobility standpoint, from a running standpoint, but I just don't think there will be a lot for Kingsbury to avoid when it comes to Jaden Daniels. Mike and Kyle went to Bruce and Dan and said, if we do this, we're going to have to play football a different way. He's just not advanced enough as an NFL pocket passer. He's just not there. We're going to try to get him to that point, but we can still put him on the field. And we can do that by, you know, lining him up in the pistol and running a lot of zone read and presenting him as a runner in an offense that's going to be unique for the NFL. They don't need to do that with Jaden. They'll do some of that, but they don't need to do that to get him on the field. I think there are massive football differences. I think there are some similarities, yes, but I think there's some big differences. Look, physically, I actually think Robert was physically stronger and built better. But again, the lack of vision and the track kind of a body. I mean, Robert got injured and tore an ACL in college. You know, Jaden's never been seriously injured. I am still, though, concerned about the slight frame. That is going to be the number one concern I have until I don't have it anymore, because it's not an issue at the NFL level. Hopefully that's the case. Beyond the football differences between RG3 and Jaden Daniels, Griffin was drafted by a team, we've said this many times, owned by Dan Snyder. You know, there was no chance, really, even if Robert Griffin III didn't allow or pushed back on the entitlement. But with Dan, you had, you know, you had, first of all, this star blanker, you know, with every star player in the organization, you know, 45-year-old, 50-year-old, 55-year-old man wanting to be best friends with 23-year-olds. And then, of course, the meddling and the entitling. And unfortunately, in Griffin, he had a willing student. You know, he did. Griffin loved the attention, and he was either too immature or too self-absorbed to go back at Dan and say, hey, I appreciate it, but no thanks. I have a coach, and he's the one that I report to. Jaden Daniels isn't going to have to deal with any of those shenanigans. And by the way, he doesn't strike me as the kind of person that would take advantage of it if it was offered anyway. I just don't see from afar Daniels and Griffin being the same type of personality. The biggest difference, I've said this before about RG3, he was 22. Much of what happened here was on the owner. It was on the adults in the organization, not him. He didn't fend it off, true. He was an attention seeker, true. He was a one-man, you know, hashtagging self-promoter. That's for sure. But Snyder is the one that made it worse because he allowed it and he enabled it. Daniels has Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, and a much more, I think, professional environment that he will be working in. With all that said, none of it means anything. None of it means that he's going to be successful. But what it does mean is he's got a much better chance to be successful. Griffin, in his defense, and it's hard to defend him, obviously, but he didn't have much of a chance, as a lot of players didn't have much of a chance entering this organization. So one other thing, Commanders-related, Washington football team-related, that I wanted to get to here in the open, because I did this on radio. Now that the draft and free agency are over, the two biggest off-season roster events, I mean, there will be more transactions, probably not major transactions, unless the 49ers end up trading one of their receivers. And I'm not suggesting that they would trade one of the receivers here, or that even Adam Peters and Dan Quinn would be interested in either one of them, although I would be. I would be interested in Ayuk for sure. But there are currently like 92 players on the roster. You got to be down to 90 when training camp begins. But what you see is what you are going to have pretty much, minus maybe another, you know, lesser transaction or two. But what you see is what you're going to have entering training camp at the end of July, first part of August. And it's never too early to have a hunch on 2024. And I was thinking about this and did this on radio today and took calls. And You know, what do you think now that you can see the roster? We knew that there would be a lot of roster change in January, and now we know what it's going to look like going into 2024. And it'll probably look a lot different in 2025 than it does even now. But it is a big time, you know, change in players, maybe even talent. I would say that they've certainly upgraded the talent on defense for sure with the additions of Luvu and Chin and Wagner and Armstrong and Fowler and Farrell. You know, I'm very, very pumped to see what Frankie Luvu can do with a Dan Quinn defense. Bobby Wagner having that kind of, you know, brain power and leadership at that position on defense. And yeah, I mean, look, I look at 24 and I think this isn't going to be our year. We're not going to contend for the Super Bowl or even perhaps for a playoff spot. But I do see a chance for doubling up on the wins. I could see 8 wins very easily in 2024. Jaden Daniels is the number one key, the quarterback position. I think he'll be ready week one. That would be my guess right now. But if it's not week one, it'll be soon enough. I'm sure they're planning on him being ready week one and getting him ready week one. It was funny, during his press conference, he was asked, you know, about if he's ready for the NFL. And he said, well, I haven't even gotten my playbook yet, so I'm not ready quite yet. You have, I think, an improved defense. I mean, it'd be hard for it to be worse. It was the 31st ranked defense per the DVOA metric last year. I mean, it was awful. The offense wasn't much better. You have a real coaching staff in place that isn't, you know, a complete mess, because, you know, I'm never going to say that Ron Rivera was a bad coach in the NFL, because he wasn't. But he certainly, you know, had a lame duck status that he was dealing with last year. And, you know, it led to them hiring somebody that no one else in the league wanted to be the offensive coordinator. That created another level of dysfunction. And, you know, I think the players they had on the team last year, that there were probably better players than the way they played last year, but they've replaced a lot of them. They're going to be 4 to 5 new starters on both sides of the ball, at least. I think that 8 wins, 6.5 is the over-under number right now, somewhere around 6.5, but I think 8 seems reasonable. The key to 2024, or let me just say, the thing that I think I want to know when 2024 is over is I want to have a strong sense that they got it right with Jaden Daniels. You know, last year we talked about, you want to have an idea after a certain number of games, maybe 17, maybe a fewer number of games, about whether or not they're going to need a quarterback in the 2024 offseason. This year, you know, you got a quarterback, you drafted him super high. This is typically where, you know, franchise quarterbacks come from. They come from a lot of different places, but more often than not, the early portion of a draft. And so 2024 is about finding out if they got it right with Jaden Daniels. I mean, you know, we can look at, you know, Jaden Daniels at the end of 2024 and have a sense as to whether or not we got it right with Adam Peters and the front office. But in terms of on the field, I mean, I don't see how they could be a 4-win team next year. I know 6.5 is the total. I know that a lot of people think they'll be drafting in the top 5, top 10 again. I don't know, 7 or 8 wins. Subject to change. I'll ask Fred Smoot about it as well. One more thing here in the open before we get to Fred. This came from Stan. Love the podcast. After listening to your open the other day, I just had to give a hearty amen to your rant with Tom about the NBA playoffs. Here in Baltimore is a guy who leans on your podcast as my primary source of pigskins info. Love the Cooley breakdowns. But I love it most when your passion for the NBA comes out. Then he writes about his longtime passion for the NBA and for the Bullets and the Bullets Wizards as a Baltimore fan of Earl the Pearl in the late 60s. And he writes, "Each spring I tell myself to stop staying up so late for those Western Conference games. But like you, I get sucked in. Please, please, please keep talking hoops!" Exclamation point. Thank you, Stan, for that. I was up late last night watching Lakers Nuggets. Wow, what a basketball game. What a series that was. Five games, it's over. The Lakers are going home. The defending champions are moving forward into the second round. But game two last week and game five last night were incredible. Jamal Murray hit the game winner with 3.6 seconds left. LeBron James was amazing. And I'll just say what I've said to Tommy and even without Tommy. I think we're seeing LeBron James at a level that I don't know that we've seen before in his career. He's a better shooter, better three-point shooter than he's ever been. I think he's just a better shooter in general. He is bigger, stronger, in some ways even more athletic. It's crazy at 39 years old. I have a new appreciation for LeBron James that that's crazy to say, right, after the career he's had. But I was always in that, you know, Mike's better, Magic's better, he doesn't have the killer gene that Kobe had, et cetera, et cetera. LeBron James is special, spectacular. I mean, he is on the short list for sure of the greatest ever to play the game, and he was sensational. He had 30 again last night. Second player, in NBA history to go for 30 or more in back-to-back playoff games at the age of 39 years of age or older. Kareem was the other one. The game was great. Jokic was great. Jamal Murray, incredible. Michael Porter Jr. is just on fire as a shooter. The game changed when Anthony Davis got, you know, bumped into, and it really was just a bump, and went down like he had been shot by an AK-47, and then kind of, you know, held his shoulder and rubbed his shoulder in the game. He stayed in the game for the most part the rest of the way. And we've seen this from Anthony Davis before. I mean, bless his heart, he, I'm sure, is a sweet guy. Toughness is not his strongest attribute. And look, if he's legitimately hurt, and maybe it's coming out right now as we speak that he, you know, he has a separated shoulder or something like that. It was not a violent hit. I mean, there's so much contact in these games. This was a brush. But we've seen it with Anthony Davis before, and it's a shame because he's such a great player. He is going to be a Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer with the career that he has had, and he is a spectacular two-way player, a great defender. I mean, he's great. He's always been great. But you've had so many of these incidents over the years, and he gets a little boo-boo, and it's really tough for him to overcome it. And they were playing 4-on-5 offensively with him in the game the rest of the way from about the early third quarter through the fourth quarter. That's what made last night even more amazing, is that without Anthony Davis playing at an Anthony Davis level, they had leads. They had a chance to win the game. LeBron was just incredible. Reeves was incredible. The game was incredible. I will say this. There were 3.6 seconds left when Murray hit the go-ahead bucket to make it 108-106 Denver. And the Lakers didn't have any timeouts left. They had used their last timeout on a challenge. It was a successful challenge. I don't know how that was successful. Man, the replay booth in the NBA in this postseason, I just think, has been off so many times. But maybe LeBron sort of bought that call with his complaining after game two. But there were 3.6 seconds left, and the Lakers had no timeouts left, and they had no plan. They just, ball came in quickly to LeBron deep in the backcourt. He got cut off by Jokic. He threw it to Prince at half court, and he threw up a half court prayer. With 3.6 seconds left, as an NBA team, as a college team, as a high school team, you practice these situational things, you know. Under five, no timeouts left. This is what we're going to do. if they had a plan, they did not go to the plan. And you can, 3.6 seconds left, you can get off a much better shot than a half-court defended heave. I mean, that's a chuck from half-court. It was just, they were shell-shocked in the moment. But thank you, Stan. Yeah, the game was great last night. That was as good a five-game series as you'll ever see. The Lakers led for 165 of the minutes in the series. 19 minutes, the series was tied, and 56 of the minutes in the series, Denver led, and yet Denver won four games, and the Lakers only won one. Denver, Minnesota, Anthony Edwards, that's going to be a series in the next round. All right, Fred Smoot next, right after these words from a few of our sponsors. All right, guys, now with the NFL draft behind us, it's time to focus on springtime games, like real games, playoff games. For me, it's the NBA playoffs. And if you're a daily fantasy sports player, I've got the app for you. Prize Picks is the app that's easy and exciting and a new way to play DFS. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. It's just you against the numbers, not you battling thousands of other players. It's you picking more than or less than on between 2 and 6 player stat projections with odds. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000 during these NBA playoffs. Turn your NBA hoops knowledge into serious cash. Prize Picks, by the way, so simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use my code SHEEN for a first deposit match of up to $100. Again, download the Prize Picks app today. Use my code SHEEN, SHEEHAN, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey guys, I want to tell you about Harry's. Many of you have probably heard of Harry's razors and shaving products, maybe even from this podcast. They've been an occasional advertiser over the years. I'm a customer. I have been for a while now. I think it goes back to the first shipment of product that they sent me before the first time they advertised on the pod, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. They found a way, Harry's did, to make a beautifully designed razor for a fraction of the price of other big brands. I've been using their Truman handle. It's a 2-tone handle with a great grip. It provides a close shave, no matter if you've got a beard and you're shaving around it, or if you cleanly shave on a daily basis. Their German-engineered blades stay sharp and stay sharp for a long period of time. They've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills for as low as $2. That's half of what you pay other big brands. Right now, you can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/Sheehan. Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, and this is a no-risk trial. If you don't like your shave, no worries. It's on them. Convenient subscription options exist that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/Sheehan. That's harrys.com/SHEEHAN for a $3 trial set.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
This segment of the show brought to you by Window Nation. Window Nation's got their semi-annual sale going on right now, and it's a big deal. Right now, you can get 50% off on all windows, along with no interest for 5 years, plus bonus savings if you schedule an appointment today. If your windows are older, if they leak, if they get foggy or they get hot, you're paying higher air conditioning bills and higher heating bills in the winter, and that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save big. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. Mention my name, they'll take good care of you. So Fred Smoot is with us, and 23 years ago, Fred Smoot was the second round pick of the then Marty Schottenheimer-led Washington Redskins. But I think you've told me this before. You went in the second round, the middle portion of the second round, but in a lot of the mock drafts, you were supposed to go in the first round, right?
Yes, I was. But, you know, on draft day, it ain't about 32 teams liking you. It's about one team liking you. And you know what? It reminds me of what just happened to Johnny Newton. Nobody thought he was going to be there in the second. Everybody said 15 to 20. And when he was there, I could see him. And that's why I know this team said, we're going best player available no matter what. And when he dropped right there, they ran to the podium to get that there. And he's a dominant player. So it reminds me similar to what I had to go through on draft day.
So let's start with the draft, and we'll start with Jaden Daniels, because the last time I had you on, he was not your favorite quarterback. You liked him, but you weren't sure about him at number two. Now that he is a Washington Commander, what do you think?
I had a chance to sit down and talk to him, and I was blown away by the conversation because he said some things that you rarely hear from a number two pick, and He said, you know what, I'm not a finished product. I'm going to get better every day, and I'm going to do everything in my power, too. That's why I use my VR machine. I use this. And it wasn't never that I didn't like him. I just felt like him and Drake May, both of these guys was a win-win. It don't matter who you ask to the prom. Your prom date was going to be one of the prettiest girls there. But I now that I really got to talk to him and see how he's wired, and then the comps to Lamar Jackson – I understand what the team is trying to do right now. They don't need Fred Smoot to be in love with the product. They need Adam Peters to, and Adam Peters loves him, and now he's our quarterback.
So what did you like about him other than maybe some humility?
Well, you know what? After I went back and really, really watched the film, his deep ball, and I knew it was a potent deep ball, but his positioning on them deep balls, throwing them outside shoulder, early release on it. And I mean, how many guys can make those throws consistently? They can make it once or twice, but he made it over and over and over again. And I was blown away by that. And, of course, he broke some very long runs. Only thing I would want him to do is when he leaves the pocket now in the NFL, I would still want him to not be in a rush to run, but I want him to run to pass. And if there's nothing there, then run. And I think that's where you're going to see his game graduate to. That's what he's going to become. And that's what y'all need to understand about all of these draft picks. None of them are finished products. Their career just started.
You think the fan base is all in on Jaden, even though it was split? I think more people wanted Jaden, but I think a lot of people felt the way you did and wanted Drake May. But it seems like a moment in which everybody seems excited, right?
Yeah, everybody excited. I was at the draft party, and the fan base erupted. And I must say, he has been, when it comes to the fans' vote, he has been the fan favorite. And I think, you know what? He was on our time schedule. We want a guy that could come in here and start from day one. I don't think you get that with Drake May. I think Drake needs to sit a half a season or so. I think they like Drake, but he just wasn't ready-made. He wasn't microwavable right now. And the guy that we have, he's ready to play. He's ready to get out there and get his bumps and bruises so he can move on to the next level. So I think the fan base is ecstatic about it. Everybody I talk to walking the streets of D.C., everybody I talk to, they love the pick.
So week one starter, or does he have to wait a couple of weeks behind Mariota?
I think he's a week one starter, because we're talking about a guy that matured over his time in college. We're talking about a guy that's played a ton of football. The only thing that could stop him, hold that off for a little bit, is him not learning his playbook. But I know the offensive coordinator, it's very college quarterback friendly. So I don't see him not being able to learn this playbook. So I don't see anything stopping him from starting day one.
Do you have a sense of what we're going to see offensively with Cliff Kingsbury, and now that we know that it's Jaden Daniels? Like, do you ever envision him being under center?
Well, you know what? Yes, I did, because it was a great – I knew it was one or the other. Now – this offense, I think what he's going to do is a great thing of catering the offense to Jaden's strengths, especially his strengths early on. Maybe see a lot of bootleg, a lot of quarterback waggle, a lot of get the quarterback outside the pocket so he can create his own pocket, quick throws, making him make quick, decisive decisions. I don't know what it's going to look like, and I think that's the great thing about it. Nobody does, because if you study Cliff Kingsbury, you get two different versions of him. In Arizona, people don't understand he ran 40%+ of the time.
Right.
He ran the ball
right.
A ton. And the best way to protect the quarterback is good defense in a running game. So I'm looking for him to mesh those things and marry those things together, and this offense is going to grow. I promise you, the offense you see in the first year won't be the offense you see in the second year, because they're just going to keep adding things to it. So we don't get the rough draft this year, and we're going to get the A report card probably next year as he continues to learn his offense.
Yeah, the year that Kingsbury was the head coach in Arizona, and I think you mentioned it, but that was the year that they went 11-6. They actually started out even better than that. They ended up losing a playoff game to the Rams in the first round, but they ran they threw it. It was like 56-44. 56% of the time throws, 44% of the time runs. That's not an overwhelming pass to run ratio. They had, James Conner. They had Chase Edmonds. Also, he threw to the tight end a bunch. Zach Ertz had a bunch of catches. Had, I think, 56, 57 catches that year. So, all right. So you're in on Jaden Daniels. You feel good about it. I'm glad that you're there. Tell me about Johnny Newton, the first pick for them in their three second round picks, the D tackle out of Illinois. What'd you see on tape?
Quick first step, run disruptor, even better pass rusher. Like I said, I'm sure the front office had no clue that he was going to fall there. I'm sure he was high on their draft board, but I'm sure they labeled him undraftable because we got to draft a quarterback at number two. They are ecstatic to have this dude in the building. And don't forget, this guy played with a Jones injury in his foot the whole entire year and still dominated. So you talking about a guy that's going to finally get a chance to truly get healthy and got two great interior defensive linemen to learn from it. It's sky's the limit with Johnny Newton. Like, he's a cornerback's best friend. I wish I had a Johnny Newman when I played.
I'm trying to think of who the D tackles were. A couple of years you had Cornelius Griffin. You had a good D tackle in Griffin.
I had Cornelius Griffin. I had Big Darrell Gardner. I had Big Daddy Wilkinson. I had some guys, and I played with Big Pat Williams and the Williams brothers. I had some guys, but I think he's been the best interior defensive lineman for the last 2 years, Professor. If I'm not mistaken,
Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, you're talking about a steal. We got a steal right there, and I think the fans gonna fall in love with this guy, because from what I hear from Illinois, he's a work hard guy and he's a captain of their team, and that's what most of our draft picks are. I looked at them; most of them got to come that they were the leader of their team and they were captain.
Mike Sanristil, Michigan, big part of that national championship team, corner. This is your breakdown. This one's for you. What did you see in him?
I see a smooth defensive back transition out of breaks and cuts very quickly. X-Y receiver. Don't forget, he's only played two seasons at cornerback. He has the ball skills of a wide receiver. You can still tell that he thinks like a wide receiver. That's why he's always a step ahead. The fan base is about to explode with this kid. Sky's the limit. He plays inside nickel. He plays safety. He plays a little bit thing. And I'm going to say it again. He was the captain of their Michigan defense, of their Michigan team. So he's most definitely a leader. And he plays with such energy and such passion. Like I say, 2 years at the cornerback position, he's already mastered. His floor is high, and it makes his ceiling. You don't know what his ceiling is. We don't know how good this kid could be. But you heard from the best college coach of all time, Nick Saban, say, pound for pound, he felt like he was the best player in this draft. Professor, that's saying a lot, man.
Yeah.
It was a packed draft. And for Nick Saban to say that, and Nick don't just say, coach don't say that. He just don't say that about any player. He must have been in love with this guy. You know Nick Saban is a defensive back guy. For him to say that is all I really need to hear. I didn't need to see no film. I went and saw the film anyway, but I didn't need to hear nothing after Nick Saban said that.
Have you heard anything, being out there as much as you're out there, have you heard anything as to what they think of Emmanuel Forbes, what Dan Quinn, what Joe Witt Jr. thinks of Emmanuel Forbes?
Oh, yeah. They chopping at the bit to work with him. The one thing about good coaches is they know you got to the league because you can play football. What they want to do is get the best football out of you, right? And they know he was poorly coached last year. But they know it's tons of talent there. And don't forget, Coach Quinn, Coach Witt, they about cornerbacks with ball skills. Now, you can take a lot from Emmanuel and say he didn't have a good year. So be it. We all have bad years. But you know this guy can get the ball back when he feels comfortable. And just like any football player, when you understand the defense is set up to protect you and have your back, that's a totally different thing. I think they cannot wait to get him on the field because they like long cornerbacks, bland. Right? They like guys with wide receiver ball skills, Charles Woodson. So he fits everything they want to do. Their question is, can I build his confidence back up? Can I get him to play the way I want to play? Because if I can, we can get this guy to the Pro Bowl. I think they love Forbes. They just understand his situation last year.
So do you see, like, the three corners being Benjamin St. Juice and Emmanuel Forbes on the outside and Sanristil being the slot corner on the inside?
It's hard to say because we got a lot of new guys, but we also have a lot of guys from last year that played a lot of football. It's hard to say who starts from the door, you know. They might even like St. Juice inside. Who knows?
Right.
I like him outside more. So it's hard to say. I think what they want to do was leave this draft with rooms full of talent, and we'll figure out who's going to make this team what, why, and how after training camp. But I think they want to accumulate talent.
All right, what did you think of the tight end, Ben Sinnott?
You call him Sinnott, I call him Sinnott.
Yeah, I made that mistake the first night. I thought it was Sinnott, but I went and looked at the – you know, how it was pronounced, and it's actually Sinit. S-I-N-I-T is the way it's spelled out phonetically. But whatever. It really doesn't matter. Sinat Sinit, what did you think of number 34 in a K-State uniform?
You know what? This is the epitome of what the Commanders draft is about. They went drafted a guy that was a walk-on. A guy that started as a walk-on ended up as the number one receiver on that team. He plays fullback. He plays move tight end. He does whatever you need. This is definition of a Commander. He reminds me of Juszczyk. He's one of those guys that's going to set the standard type players, physicality type player. Coach, do you need me to take on that linebacker in A-gap? I will. Coach, do you need me to turn the corner and on the top sweep? I will. You need me to go vertically? He can do that also. He's a jack of all trades. Listen to me. When we look back on this draft, they're going to say about this guy, he is what we are. He's hard-working, blue-collar guy. I'm looking for this guy to have a long, long, long career. Hopefully, in the Burgundy and Gold.
Brandon Coleman was the first of the third round picks, and everybody was screaming. You know, the fans wanted offensive line. They didn't reach for anybody. They tried to trade up maybe into the late portions of the first round, didn't do it. So, what do you see in Coleman? Do you see a tackle?
Yeah, why wouldn't I see a tackle? He played, what, 1,500 snaps in
right.
college?
Yep.
Only gave up 55 pressures and 3 sacks. You're talking about a guy with a 7-foot wingspan. You're talking about a guy 300-plus pounds that ran a 4.940. His athletic profile is out of this world. That's what I hate when people say, hey, we didn't address tackle. Why? Because it wasn't in the first round? I got news for you. Half of those tackles drafted in the first round have a big chance to be bust, just like any round. Like, when you find a guy with this type of athletic makeup and you know you have great coaches in the building, you cannot tell me this guy don't have a chance to start at tackle. And at the worst, he can be a guard. Like, I think he can most definitely play tackle on this league. I think he could be elite because of his hand movements, and he's never in a bad position. And if you really want to see some real, real great film, go back to that year they made it to the championship and watch all of those games and watch him maul people. Last year, maul people. He moves people. All right, so at the end of the day, we got a guy, and I want people to go do this. No, I'm not saying he treat wins. I'm not saying it. But if you go look at their athletic grade, it's very similar. Very similar. So all I'm saying is give these guys a chance for you say before people say what we don't have and we do have, because I think Coleman could be one of those long stays on that offensive line. I really do. Especially after I watch this film over and over again, I like Coleman. I think he's going to be a great pro.
All right, what about McCaffrey, the receiver at the end of the third, Christian McCaffrey's younger brother?
And we're talking about everything from bloodline to the great tutelage to a guy that played quarterback, running back, wide receiver, returns kicks, a jack of all trades, another guy that's only been playing wide receiver 2 years. That means he got a high floor and a high ceiling. A guy that, listen, right now on the roster, he could be the biggest receiver we have right now at 6'2". But he also is a guy that can play inside. He can play outside. He can play move. He can do it all. He's a guy you don't pencil in just one position. He's a jack of all trades. And he's a hand feet a fool to get down because he's so big, because he's so strong. And his athletic profile is over the roof. So you're talking about what they did. All of these guys have so much so much similarities in what they've been through, how they got to where they at. I think what they went into this draft is, we don't care about getting the best athlete. We want to get the best mentalities. And that's what they got. They got guys with all of the same DNA and all of the same mentality. And they wanted some guys that did, like, think about these guys. None of these guys was really five-star athletes coming out. These guys built themselves through college over the years. And it's no different from Luke McCaffrey. He will get better and better as he plays wide receiver more and more.
Of the last three that they picked, Jordan McGee or Maggie, Dominique Hampton, Jean Baptiste, did you take a look at these guys? Do you have any opinions on the other three?
I love Hampton. Hampton, 6'3", safety linebacker, hybrid. This guy can, Listen, this guy can go. If y'all watched the Cowboys last year, y'all watched Curse, right? Y'all watched the safety linebacker hybrid. But this is what he will be for this team. He's long, Professor. I'm talking about basketball-type reach. He can go sideline to sideline. Fluent guy, can get the ball back. He's a guy that might be a late-round pick, but I'm sure they have some packages and they have a job and a slot for this guy on this team. And you brought up McGee from Temple. Listen, watch his film, please. He's a downhill linebacker, sideline to sideline, but he also is a great cover man. He's very sticky in coverage. And I'm going to say it again. He's the captain of Temple's football team. So yet again, another leader, yet again, a great guy to put behind Bobby Wagner and say learn from the best because one day it'll be your turn. I think that's the perfect setup for him.
All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll ask Fred about 2024. I talked about it a little bit in the open. We now have, you know, somewhat of a view of what the roster will look like. Let's get Fred's thoughts on what kind of team Washington will have next season. We'll do that right after these words from a few of our sponsors. Hey, guys, most of us are interested in our mental and physical well-being to a certain degree. And with that in mind, I'd like to welcome and introduce a new sponsor to the podcast. The new sponsor is Unified Healing. Unified spelled U-N-I-F-Y-D, Healing. It doesn't matter if you're a big-time world-class athlete or just a somewhat athletic podcaster like me. We all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring the podcast now. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the DMV or anywhere else across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Well, go to unifiedhealing.com/Sheehan to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, spelled U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/Sheehan. No material or testimonies on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This segment of the show brought to you by MyBookie. Go to mybookie.ag or mybookie.com. Use my promo code KevinDC, and MyBookie will take good care of you with a cash bonus on your initial deposit. You have to use my promo code KevinDC to get access to that free cash on that initial deposit bonus. My bookie's got everything you need for the NBA playoffs, for the NHL playoffs, and for the Kentucky Derby, which is coming up this weekend. Want to look at NFL futures? They've got all of their futures opportunities up. Washington's over under win total 6.5. in 2024. We'll talk to Fred a little bit more about what he sees in 2024 coming up. But everything you want to see at this time of the year in terms of NFL futures bets, championship odds, Super Bowl odds, division odds, odds to make the playoffs or not make the playoffs, MVP odds, it's all there at mybookie.ag. Use my promo code KevinDC. So here we are. We're done with, you know, the two big events of the offseason, free agency and the draft. And we know now basically almost every player they'll take to camp. Do you like this team entering 2024?
Yes, I do. I think it's a remade roster, a retool roster. It's like we cut off a lot of fat, but we kept the good points of the steak. We still got a number one receiver in Terry McLaurin. We still got Pro Bowl D tackles. We still got Brian Robinson in the backfield. We still got core guys, and all we did with those core guys is add a Frankie Louvu. All we did with those core guys is add a Jeremy Chin and the rest of these guys. I think it's a better roster because it's going to be better coached. So start there. Let's start from the top first. They're going to be better coached. We got better athletes in here. Now the only question is, how fast can they go from individuals to a team? And that takes a little time to gel. So we will see this, but I feel better about this roster because I feel better about the leadership.
Are you glad that the draft is over? Did you get tired of talking about it at the end?
Yes, I am draft fatigued. Like, because all of us doing all that wishing, wanting, and guessing. Like, I just want to see things happen. See, because the one thing we couldn't guess, Professor, we couldn't guess that the Falcons was going to draft a quarterback at 9 and turn the whole draft apart. But I can say this, the last time they drafted a quarterback named Michael, it went pretty good for him.
Yeah, it did. And he was left-handed, too.
Yeah, it left-handed. So the last time they did that, it worked out pretty good.
I actually think that was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen a team do in the draft. And I'll tell you why. Well, go ahead. Yeah. I want to hear your opinion first.
All right. I don't think it was the dumbest thing in the world because when I look at their roster, their offensive line is one of the best offensive line in football, and most people don't even know it. All right. Second of all, they have a starting tailback. They have a number one wide receiver in Drake May. They got Kyle Pitts. Offense solidified. I do have a 36-year-old quarterback coming off of Achilles who is a pocket passer. At what point do I understand I'm going to have to draft somebody anyway? Like they said, they didn't want to be in quarterback purgatory anymore. Well, we've been for the longest. It's like the most important position in football is the quarterback. You either have one or you don't. So to have two ain't a problem. So I think it's right because you don't know who's coming out in the next 2 years. We've seen drafts where guys get drafted in four or five quarterbacks, and none of them are good. Now, most quarterbacks in the NFL, you can do a study, that gets to sit for a year plus, usually have better careers than guys that are rushed out there. So I think this sets Michael Penix up to be a long-time starter in this league. And I thought he had one of the prettiest balls in this draft, and he has nice touch. And I know everybody wants to say, why not draft a pass rusher? Is it guaranteed my pass rusher ain't a bust? Like, none of this is guaranteed. It don't matter just because I draft a person. It don't matter that it don't make them succeed. Drafting people is what do you need compared to what do you want? And they understand I need a quarterback every year. I might want a pass rusher, but I need a quarterback every year.
I liked the player, too. I liked him a lot, and I really thought it was going to be crazy if he ended up not going in the first round, and I thought there was a really good chance he would go in the top half of the first round. But where my issue is with Atlanta is you got to know before free agency when you spend $180 million, $100 million guaranteed on a 36-year-old quarterback, you got to know that you love Michael Penix then because he was going to be there at 8. They knew that going into it. They didn't fall in love with him until after they had paid Kirk a $180 million four-year deal. They should have taken that $100 million of guaranteed money and built a supporting cast and taken Penix at 8. I think it's one thing to talk about the quarterback of the future when you've had a guy for a while like Aaron Rodgers when they drafted Jordan Love or like Brett Favre when they drafted Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Those quarterbacks were already there. They hadn't just brought him there for $100 million in guaranteed money. You got to know in the future as an NFL team, if you have a quarterback need and you're considering free agency in the draft, you got to know that you're in love with a guy in the draft that you're going to be able to pick before free agency, not after it.
What would you – when you said, no, they should have went – if they knew they were drafting Penix, they should have went and got him help. He has a number one receiver in Drake May. He has Kyle Pitts. He has Bijan Robinson. He has one of the best offensive lines.
The defense was terrible last year. They could have taken – they could have used $100 million in free agency on defense. Sure. Yeah, you. The point is, why would you spend $100 million on a 36-year-old quarterback when you were in love with a quarterback in the draft? And the reason was they hadn't fallen in love with Michael Penix yet.
Because they hadn't went through the draft process.
You got to figure in the future. So you got to figure that out before.
And you have to pivot sometime. At the end of the day, you have to say, all right, we fell in love with this guy, and we also got this guy. So guess what? For the next 10, 15 years, we're good at the quarterback position. That is not a bad problem to have. Like, I've seen people go out and get rushed in. We went out and got Chase Young. Defensive leads are not changing the game like a quarterback. Like, at the end of the day, I understand what you're saying. Why double down on a position? Double down on a position because it's the best in the most important position in football. In 4 years, y'all will be looking saying that wasn't wrong.
I don't disagree with you in doubling down on the position. When we drafted Griffin at number two, I was okay when they drafted Cousins in the fourth round. When they drafted Heath Shuler back, because you're a student of this franchise, when they drafted Shuler in 94, they drafted Gus Frerotte in the seventh round. I'm fine with that. I'm all for, you know, doubling down and creating, you know, the future at the position. It's just the way they did it was ass backwards. They should not have spent that much money on a free agent quarterback when there was a quarterback there. Put it this way. If they had had the number two pick in the draft or the number three pick in the draft where they knew there was going to be a quarterback there somewhere they were going to draft, whether it was Daniels or May or who knows, maybe they would have fallen in love with Penix and drafted him that high. They would have never signed Cousins. Never.
True that.
So
you are right. You are right.
So the fact that they had the eighth pick and they went into this thing unsure about what they were going to do, I think it's just, for me, and I said this yesterday on the show, it's just for NFL teams, this is going to be one of those lessons where you got to have a really strong sense before free agency starts if you're in the quarterback market as to whether or not there's somebody in the draft that A, you love, and B, you can get. Because if the answers to A and B are yes and yes, you don't sign a 36-year-old quarterback to a four-year, $180 million deal. You take that money and you spend it elsewhere, like on a defense that really struggled last year. That's why everybody had, you know, mocked to them at number eight. They had, you know, one of the pass rushers. You know, the Dallas Turner from Bama, Latu from UCLA. Those were the kind of guys that were mocked because they needed pass rush. But anyway, I mean, we could go around on this on a while. To me, when you brought it up, it's just another reminder to me. I thought it was insane what they did, but it did make draft night exciting. And I'm with you, though. I'm glad it's finally over. That was a lot of fun, and it was good for all of us to have a quarterback and all these quarterback conversations. But I'm glad they got who they got. Now I can't wait to watch him play.
Yeah, me either. But I think I'm not even mad at the Falcons' first pick, but the second one with Arua with their second pick. That's when I was like, do they know what they're doing?
Right. Yeah, I mean, nobody knows anything, right? I mean, we all understand this. We'll know 3 years, 4 years down the road who was right and who was wrong. But you're right. Johnny Newton was the highest rated player on the board, and they took a player at the position that Newton plays who was projected to go much later than when he went. So, yeah, maybe.
Yep.
All right. Well, so how many games are they going to win next year?
Look at that. We're going to play this game. We got a first-year head coach. We have a rookie quarterback. We have a good running game, good wide receiver group, and we should be at least 10 spots better on defense in the NFC East. That we played the Eagles pretty tough. The Giants are somewhat in shambles, and we're watching the Dallas Cowboys decay in front of us. I would say they might be a good 8-9 win team next year.
That's where I had it, too. I actually talked about this, and I think it's way too early, but there's no reason on paper, unless Daniels really isn't ready, or it turns out he really can't do it, because who knows? I'm optimistic, but who the hell knows if any of us will be right. But there's no reason why they can't double what they won last year and win 8 games. A lot of it's going to have to do with their improvement on defense. You said moving up 10 spots defensively. That would be, you know, that would still put them at just 22nd or 21st in the league, because they were one of the two worst defenses in the league. Isn't it funny, Fred, how this time last year, and I'm sure I had you on, we were talking about a defense that we thought was going to be really good.
We did.
You know?
We did. It's blasphemy. We tried. We tried to go with the knowledge we had, right? We think if you can be good one year, you can either get better or maybe fall just a tad bit backwards. We imploded on defense. I'm going to say it here. That defense got Sam Howell traded. I'm telling you that now. That defense probably got Sam Howell traded.
Well, Sam Howell didn't help himself.
Well, if you got a quarterback that's basically a rookie – and you're throwing him out there, and your defense is not helping you a bit. You're not running the ball because you're behind every game. It didn't help Sam Howell development that his defense gives up 500 yards a game.
There's no doubt about that. Look, I'm not a big believer in Sam Howell as a high-level starting quarterback. I certainly think there's a place for him in the league as a backup, no doubt, or maybe even a low-end starter. But to be fair to him, you're right about defense. People who say the offensive line wasn't good enough, it was probably better in terms of some of the advanced numbers than most of our fans think, but still it wasn't great. The Eric Bieniemy experiment just did not work. You had a lame duck head coach, and that created a lot of dysfunction around, you know, his final year. So it was not the best situation for a rookie quarterback or a second-year quarterback starting for the first time. That's true. 100% true.
Yeah, it was terrible. He was set up to fail.
Fred does great work with Logan Paulson and Santana Moss on the team's website and also on their YouTube channel as well. Go check all of that out. Fred, I always love doing this with you. Thanks.
Anytime, Professor. You know, I enjoy my conversations with you.
Fred Smoot, everybody. We're done for the day. Back tomorrow.